Well, my first question for you, Nadj, is what is Onslaught doing currently, and what are you guys up to right now?
Well, obviously, the Sounds of Violence album came out 3 or 4 months ago now. We've just completed a European tour. Obviously, festival time now in Europe, the summer festivals. We've got a few of those coming up, including our first appearance at Wacken Festival, which we're really looking forward to. A few other shows, Romania, another German festival. So that's going to be really good for us. And beginning of September, sort of mid-September time, we got our first UK tour that we've done for many years. So we're looking forward to that as well. It's going to be pretty good. And also there's something else coming in the pipeline that I can't really say too much about at the moment. We're just waiting for confirmation any day now, which is going to be, if that comes off, it's going to be absolutely immense for us. So 2011 is looking quite busy, so all very good.
Well, Nadj, it's very interesting because the last 3 to 4 years, a lot of thrash metal bands have kind of been making a comeback and really putting out some outstanding records. And at least in my opinion, I think this has been great. I've loved all these comeback albums, and I know this isn't really your comeback album, but you know, how's the response been to this new album for you? And talk about the response in the media. I mean, I haven't seen anything bad. I mean, everything's been good that I've seen, but how's the response been?
I have to say, honestly, it's probably been the most well-received album we've ever made from the press and fans alike. I mean, I think I've seen probably one sort of fairly average review, but everything else has been absolutely amazing. I mean, we couldn't have asked for a better response from everyone, really. We kind of tried to do something a little bit different from Kill in Peace with this album. We tried to progress a little bit, make it a little bit more intricate, if you like, a little more aggressive and a little heavier, and I think the sort of the fans have really taken to that. I think it's brought a new generation of fans to listen to Onslaught as well, so it's been very, very positive.
Now, for about 15, 16, 17 years, you guys really didn't exist as a band. Well, you know, about 15 years, and you guys made a comeback, and I'm curious, what was the response, the fan response, like for you coming back after all that time? Because you guys weren't around for a long time, and what was that fan response like for you?
It was strange when we first came back. Obviously, we'd been away for so long, and it was very difficult for the first, I guess, 6 months to try and get back to a required standard of playing what we sort of set ourselves, and to try and find our feet again, you know. We obviously came back with the intention of making another album, especially for me. We sort of finished in a fairly sort of unhappy way previously, and I felt we had a lot of things we had to put right when we came back. And it did take a little while to sort of find out what direction Onslaught were going to sort of go in 2005, 2006. But I think once we wrote the first song for Kill in Peace, everything else sort of fell in place once we knew the definitive direction we were heading. It all became very easy then. We sort of had so many ideas flowing around because obviously we'd been away for so long. Everything was nice and fresh. And everything just fell into place after that little sort of initial period of readjustment, you know?
Now, when you think of thrash metal bands, you always think of the West Coast, like Slayer and Megadeth, Metallica, Exodus, and a lot of these types of bands, Testament. And then you think of the East Coast with like Overkill and Anthrax, and then you go to like the German scene, people talk about Creator, Sodom, Destruction. And my question for you is this. You know, what was the thrash metal scene like in the UK? You don't hear much about the United Kingdom too much. You know, anytime you think of UK metal bands, I think of Iron Maiden or Saxon, just to name a couple. But, you know, what was the thrash metal scene like for you guys when you started out in the UK? And talk a little bit about that, what it was like for you.
It was very, very underground. I think sort of when we were sort of 1984... we actually released Power from Hell in 85, but I mean it was really underground at the time. I mean all the sort of named American bands were coming in and playing it at the Marquee, which kind of tells you the level it was at. It was like a 300 50 capacity venue at the time. So, I mean, that was they would just fly in and play a one-off show in the UK at the Marquee, and that would be it. So that really sort of shows the level of thrash metal in sort of 84, 85. But then it really kind of exploded sort of 86, 87 and onwards then. And it became a huge phenomenon in the UK in terms of fans. But it never really sort of generated over into people making bands, you know. There was never the amount of musicians like, I guess, that you guys had in the States. And everybody appeared to be happy to be a fan and not a musician, you know. So I don't think we generated a great deal of bands from the UK as such. Very few in comparison with America and Germany, I guess.
Yeah, you know, the UK had a couple really good thrash metal bands. You guys, Zentrix, to name a few. But, you know, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, you just don't think of UK as a thrash metal country. So, you know, for my next question, though, for you, Cy Keeler, you brought him back. When you guys came back, you brought him back as the singer of the band. And, you know, why did you pick him to be the singer of the band when you came back?
I think Cy's been long regarded as the Onslaught singer, although at the time he'd only made one album. We played hundreds of shows with Cy, and obviously at that time The Force was regarded as probably the best Onslaught album, and people liked what Cy did and liked his persona, how he was on stage and the general everything about the guy, and we just felt that if we were going to do this, we needed to go back to our roots, back to the Power From Hell, the Force days, and take it from there, because that was really where we were at our strongest and at our best. And we felt if we were going to do anything credible, we needed the best possible lineup to do that with. And Cy was the only one singer that I personally was happy to work with on when we came back.
Mm-hmm. Now, the late 80s, early 90s, you recorded an album called In Search of Sanity with Steve Grimmett from Grim Reaper, which was a huge directional change for the band, Nige. And I'm curious, why did you record an album like that? Why did you take such a big directional change on In Search of Sanity?
It's kind of a sore point for many of us in the band, actually. It's the album was never meant to sound the way it did. We'd signed to a major label off the back of the success of the Force album.
Mm-hmm.
We signed to Polygram Records, which we thought was gonna take us up several levels. You know, we'd had all the material written, we'd demoed all the material with Cy, and it sounded great. It sounded naturally like the next progression from the Force album. It was angry, it was raw, with lots of energy. And I guess Polygram, who we'd signed to, they weren't the section of Polygram that we signed to, a company called London Records, weren't that really clued up about metal, you know. I think they'd licensed a Slayer album and they'd released a Faith No More album. That was about as far as it went. I think they kind of used us as their plaything, if you like, to try and break a metal act in the UK. And they really took control of things in a bad kind of way for us. We were virtually through the making of the album. Well, we'd actually made the album, and one of the A&R guys came down one day and said, these vocals aren't working, they're totally not what we want for this record. And I said, well, this is our singer, this is what you signed us on. And they said, well, no, we're not happy with this. We want this guy in the band. They'd obviously been thinking about this for some time. And kind of put us in a position where we were not able to choose, if you like. We were kind of given the ultimatum of you do what we say, or we're going to put you on ice for the length of your contract, which was for like 6 albums. So they say you won't release no, you'll release no material, we'll shelve everything, and you'll be just in limbo. So we kind of didn't have a choice on this thing, really. Admittedly, Steve Grimmett came in and done a great job with the vocals, but it was not really what Onslaught was all about. The label had given us a slick American producer, and everything changed our sound. New producer, New Sound, everything was too slick, and it really took all the guts out of the band, you know? And a lot of fans really didn't take to Steve Grimmett and did not necessarily like the album because it was too polished, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tend to agree with him on certain aspects. I mean, I think there's some great songs on there, and the demos really, as I said, were very aggressive and a lot more in keeping with the Force. But once all the production work had gone on, and with Steve joining, everything really radically changed.
Your new album, The Sounds of Violence, has generated a very, very positive listener response. And I'm just curious as to, you know, what's the general theme behind this record? You know, talk a little bit about that.
Well, there's one definitive theme all the way through, and that's violence and hatred, which you see all around the world today. It's a very unfortunate, it's a very common thing that we all encounter in our lives every day with what's going on in the Middle East and even on our own doorsteps, unfortunately. All the songs on there are very much reality-based, stories of manipulation, stories of hatred, and things like that. But it's a very interesting album to make because we went down a different route with this album in the way that we wrote it. Me and Andy, our other guitarist, we just locked ourselves away in a studio with a drum program and writ away. We laid up some very aggressive drum patterns to play the guitar parts along to really get the adrenaline pumping, you know, and try and get as much anger into the music as possible. Because we found when we were writing Killing Peace, too many people were sort of in the room at the same time and you're in a noisy rehearsal environment and you really can't hear exactly what's going on all the time and it's hard to log things. If you come up with a great idea, it gets lost. So we thought if we lock ourselves in the studio, record absolutely everything, it's going to make the process a lot quicker, which it did. And the album, although there was 4 years in between the release dates of the two albums, the actual writing time of Sounds of Violence was probably 5 or 6 months in real terms. It was definitely a system that worked for us, and we're going to be working the same way again on the follow-up to Sounds of Violence.
Now, one of the things that really stands out about The Sounds of Violence, and something that really stands out about this record, is the musical change in it. And what I mean by that is, you have a lot of time changes and a lot of really cool progressive twists to this album that really in all the other Onslaught releases just didn't really exist. And you know, when you went into the writing process of making this album and you really went into writing these songs, you know, did this come into your mind? I mean, did you intend to write an album like this? Because I'll tell you what, this is my favorite Onslaught album, and I think a big reason is you guys progressed, and it's almost like a progressive, you know, almost like a progressive thrash metal album. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, as I said, we kind of find our feet eventually with Killing Peace, and now we're at a place we're really comfortable with. We want Onslaught to be very contemporary in 2011, but we want to retain the old school feel at the same time. So we've incorporated a lot of modern elements of metal into our sound whilst keeping the old hardcore and real fresh edge to the sound. We like to keep a lot of time changes in it. It's great. It makes it interesting for the listener. I think the drumming on this album is far more intricate than on previous albums, and that makes it a lot more interesting to the listener as well. And it makes it great for us to play the guitars too. So it's progressive. Yeah, I mean that's a good word. I like that. And I think that's the way forward for us. I think where we're going to be going a little bit more intricate again, heavier. We're going to take the aggression up another notch if possible. We've got the plans for the next album. And it's all in place.
And I really mean it when I say this. This record right now, this album, is probably one of my favorites so far for the year. In fact, I could probably see this as at least being a top 5 or top 10 album for me. And I just have to tell you, I really, you know, thrash metal releases right now, there are a few out, but I really think that this one is really, as far as my favorite thrash metal album of the year so far up to this point, I think this is my favorite album. And really, with the different twists and turns, with the musical direction that this album has really taken, I have to tell you that I really, really like this record. And I was really, just the production, from the songwriting, just everything in general, I really think with it being more aggressive, I got to compliment you on that.
Thank you. Okay, that's a cool one. I must say that Jacob Hansen, the guy who produced this album, was very instrumental in this sound. I mean, we gave him a basic outline of where we were going with the band, but he got some great performances out of Psy and really ramped up the sound to how we wanted it, and it was perfect because it just captured the live energy of the band, and we found that difficult to do before in previous recordings, to really capture that energy, you know, and he did that perfectly. It was amazing.
Now, when they started putting albums out again and you guys came back as a band, you know, as far as the fans go, did you have a lot of new fans come out? Did you have a lot of the old school Onslaught fans saying, oh yeah, hey, we're great, we're back? And, you know, did you just have a lot of new fans in general come out for this band? I'm kind of curious as to what your fan base consisted of when you guys first made a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, it's been total across the board. We've had the old fans, obviously, that have stuck with us. I see many, many old faces from the first time around. But as you said, we've got a whole new generation of fans now, and I think that's why thrash metal's come full circle again, and it's gaining such popularity again, because all the new kids are discovering how cool the music is. I mean, we're getting kids as young as 7 years old coming along with their dads and got their Onslaught t-shirts on, and it's amazing to see. So that's why we need to keep in touch and be contemporary to keep this band moving forward, you know. We want to appeal to the young kids of the new generation, and we want to bring our old fans along with us. So we need to keep both sets of fans happy, and I think we've really achieved that with this new album. It's been, as I said, the response has been fantastic from both sides.
You know, over here in the U.S., you have, you know, with metal, as far as metal is concerned, it's kind of like different parts or different pockets of the country is where you kind of like you have a lot of people that are into it, then you got a lot of the country that isn't. You know, then you go to like Germany, where it's like Mecca in Germany, man. You go to Wacken's like a pilgrimage, man. I mean, if you're a metal fan and haven't gone there, you need to go, you know. But I'm curious what this type of music is like in the UK. You know, I mean, I know the UK, you know, had bands like Iron Maiden and Saxon and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm curious as to how heavy metal is perceived over there, and, you know, what the metal scene is like over in the UK.
I mean, I think this weekend we got the Sonosphere Festivals, which obviously are on tomorrow, actually. I think you've got the Big Four playing there. So, obviously, that festival's going to be sold out, as far as I can imagine. So the scene is still there, you know. I think Download Festival a few weeks back, lineup wasn't that great. I think ticket sales were drastically down from previous years. But I think the market's there. It's just sometimes British people can be so apathetic, you know, and very lazy. And to get them off their asses and go to shows sometimes very difficult.
Sounds like Americans.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. You go out into Europe and it's a totally different attitude. But England's always been a very, very strange place for me. I don't know, I cannot work out. As I said, back in the 80s, everybody wanted to be fans, nobody wanted to be in bands. And I guess the fans are still there to a level, but it's just so hard to get them out. It'd be interesting. We're doing a UK tour September time. So far, we just issued the dates last week, and the response has been fantastic. So, fingers crossed for that, but it'd be interesting to see when we get to the event how it does.
Now, I know you guys did some press over here in the U.S., and I'm kind of curious as to how that went. You know, what kind of response have you had from people in the USA? And maybe touch a bit on that.
Oh, Well, you obviously nowadays you can go on to your MySpace, even though MySpace is not as popular as it used to be. You can go on and you can get all your stats from all around the world, where all your hits come from, and blah blah blah. And the US is by far our biggest quota of hits, you know. So we're constantly getting bombarded when you come to America. So I mean, the albums have been doing fantastically well as well, so we're told. I mean, it's great. We just need to get over and play to you guys, which is not an easy thing to do right for a European band, you know.
Or
I mean, the main issue is the visa cost. They're very high for a band to come over and tour the US. So
yeah, the work visas aren't cheap. That's for
sure. Yeah. So I mean, we've been offered a couple of tours so far this year, which we couldn't take up on the offers because of purely because of the finances. I mean, we can't afford to come over and lose $35,000-$40,000 on a tour. It just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
So we just need to bide our time and wait for the right opportunity to come along, you know. So we may, if nothing arrives soon, we may sort of come over and do a couple of festivals next year. But we're hoping in the meantime something will come along. So
mm-hmm.
It's just a case of being patient for us, really.
Yeah, I mean, we do have some pretty good thrash metal festivals over here and some really good thrash death metal festivals over here in the States, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've just signed up to a new agent now, and he's got a lot of contacts for festivals in the States. So, I mean, something will happen over the next sort of 6 to 9 months, I'm sure, whether it be a tour or festivals. I'm sure we're going to eventually hit your guys' shores, you know?
Now, over your, like, 15, 20-year hiatus, what did you do during that time? Did you do anything with music? Were you out of music? You know, talk a bit about what you did between the time the band didn't exist and the time it made its comeback.
Well, I think we quit around 1990 or something like that. I went on tour and did a couple of other projects up till about 93, I think, 94. One was quite interesting. It was a project called The Power Junkies. It was and it actually included our now bass player Jeff Williams. That's how I got to know him, and that's how he came to join Onslaught at this stage. That was quite interesting. It was a very sort of Sex Pistols style punk music meeting your basic heavy metal, you know. It's very raw. And quite aggressive sounding, and we were very close to landing a major management deal and a major record deal, and for some bizarre reason, I really don't know why, it all fell apart, and I guess that's why in the end I kind of put my guitar down for so long, because I was so disappointed with the end of Onslaught. And then we had this band project thing that almost cracked it really huge, and it all went to pieces. And I guess I got so despondent after that, I just got fed up with the music industry and just said, I'm going away, and that's what I did. Until we came back in 2005, I really hadn't picked my guitar up in those 10 or 11 years, so it was kind of strange to pick it up again after that time.
Now, what was it like for you trying to play this music again? I mean, was it difficult? Did you have a hard time with it? You know, talk a bit about what it was like for you to suddenly play guitar again after so long.
Oh, months. I mean, a 10-year layoff. I mean, when we were playing the band before, I mean, we were full-time professional. And obviously, we were rehearsing every single day of the week. Or playing shows, so to take a 10-year layoff, and it's like asking a soccer player or a marathon runner to go out and run that marathon or play that game of soccer again after a 10-year layoff is impossible. I mean, the first rehearsal we did when we came back was nearing a joke. Really, it was so bad. I mean, everybody was so sort of far off the mark with their play, and it was unbelievable. But I guess we all had a laughter that day, and we kind of seen some of there. Everybody was up for this, and everybody really wanted to do it. So we all put the hours in, and and got ourselves back to the required standard. I guess it took a long time. I mean, I was playing every day and working on my chops and stuff to get it back, and it was 6 to 9 months really before it really started to come back properly. I'm still working on it now. I mean, some of the stuff on the new album is very intense to play, so we really got to work at it now. And so it's great to be able to do it. I'm glad I made that decision to pick that guitar up from under the bed once again.
Well, for my final question, do you have any last minute things to say to all the Onslaught fans here in the U.S.? Any last words?
Yeah, I just love to say that. Like to thank all you guys for your undying support for Onslaught since back in the day, right up until now. I mean, the response for the new album, as we've been mentioning, has been absolutely amazing. And as we show through our MySpace and stuff, there is a place in the US for Onslaught, and that's what we're aiming to do. That's top of our priority list at the moment, and we really, really seriously want to come and play for you guys. So we're doing our best, but we have to be careful to make the right situation, that the shows are going to be good for us and for the fans over there too. So we're going to take our time and make sure it's all done correct, and it's going to be cool when we come over.